In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, there are a lot of things in our lives that are very consistent. We know that they're going to happen. Most sitting in this church have already celebrated a birthday, or you're going to celebrate a birthday, whether you want to admit how old you are or not. Many in this church know the consistency of celebrating an anniversary, whether that is a marriage, or when you moved to New Orleans, when you started attending Trinity. You know that you're going to celebrate something, a new job, every year. The church is also very consistent. Every year we know we're going to celebrate Christmas. And then we all know what happens to our city after that. We go full throttle into Mardi Gras. And we know, because it happens all the time, every year, Mardi Gras will end when the church says it's Ash Wednesday and everything comes to a screeching halt. And even on that consistent day of Ash Wednesday, Scripture is also consistent. We hear the same gospel every Ash Wednesday without fail. No matter whether we're in year A, B, or C, we hear the same gospel. If you're going to fast, wash your face and comb your hair. Don't look like you're glum. If you're going to pray, go to your room and do it in private. And then what do? We put a black mark on our forehead so everybody can see it. But it's consistent. Also consistent with Scripture is the first Sunday of Lent. Whether it is A, B, or C year and whatever gospel we're using, every first Sunday of Lent, we find Jesus where? In the desert or in the wilderness. And what is happening to him? He's being tempted by Satan. And it might be easy for us to say, well, that's what's not consistent in my life. I don't have desert experiences. And being a good Episcopalian, we don't talk about Satan. I'm never tempted by Satan. Let me give you a few examples and see if we can debunk some of those thoughts. And I'm going to be speaking metaphorically, of course. I remember when I was a child being sent to my room for talking back to my mother. I know that is shocking to all of you. And my room that I shared with my brother overlooked the front yard, which overlooked the street where they were playing the greatest game of stickball I'd ever seen. And I couldn't play. Where was I? In a desert. Same age for any of us, maybe. Grade school, junior high school. They're dividing everybody up into teams, and the two captains are choosing, and you might be the last one chosen. Or you're standing at the plate during a baseball game and you swing three times and you miss three times and the bases were loaded and you're out. Or you're kicking the soccer ball at recess and you're running towards the goal and no one's around you and you miss the goal and you hear everybody yell, "How could you miss that?" And you're in the desert of people making fun of you. Maybe they are deserts sometimes that we create. We do something wrong, and instead of saying to a family member or to a friend those two powerful words, "I'm sorry," we dig our heels in instead and refuse to say, "I'm sorry." And we've created our own little desert. Maybe it's a desert of being ostracized because a coworker or someone who knows you fairly well has heard something about you. They're not really sure if it's true. And instead of coming to you, they believe the gossip. And you are in, all of a sudden, the desert of being ostracized. Maybe you've experienced the desert of illness. You've received a challenging health diagnosis from your doctor. And you feel like you're in a cage, and you think that people are pointing at you, and you think that people won't talk to you. You're in the desert of illness. Maybe quite possibly the most difficult desert we experience is the desert of loneliness. Maybe it's because you're single and live alone. Maybe it's because of a broken friendship or a broken relationship or a divorce. Whether it was a year-long marriage or a 20-year-long marriage or a 40-year-long marriage, divorce is hard. And when that happens, we find ourselves in a very lonely desert. And what might be even worse than that is when we are in the desert of loneliness that is created by the death of someone that we love. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a best friend, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a spouse. God forbid, maybe it's a child. And that desert can seem so dark and so long. So you see, desert experiences are consistent for all of us. And when we're in that desert is when we quite often are tempted. We are tempted to blame someone who didn't really do anything. Or we're tempted to wait and see what happens, and then when someone does something, we pounce on them and we criticize and we criticize and we criticize. Or maybe we're tempted during that challenging health diagnosis to turn inward instead of turning outward and receive the help that our friends want to give us. Or maybe we are tempted to hold a grudge instead of forgive, and we might not even remember why we were mad from the start. You see, desert experiences and temptation are pretty darn consistent in our human lives. So what do? Well, we take the example of Jesus, as we always do. We look to Scripture. Today, Jesus was in the desert, in the wilderness. He was hungry, he was tired, and he was being tempted. And instead of turning his back on God, instead he recognized the power and the love that his Father had given him. And that, my friends, is what you and I must do. We find ourselves on the first Sunday of Lent. As I preached on Wednesday, one of my second graders said, the long season of Lent. And it gives each of us the opportunity to look at our lives, to examine how things are going, and to recognize and to realize that God, through Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, walks with us every step of the way. God is never not with us. Whether you are in the middle of a desert right now or whether you are in the middle of a lush garden, God is always with you. No matter where you've been, where you are, or where you're going, no matter what you've done, what you're doing, or what you're going to do, God walks with us constantly. Never gives up on us. So it is my prayer that our desert times will be few and far between. And as we walk towards Jerusalem this Lenten season, may we walk in the power and love of Jesus. Amen.